middle of that, anything that you can do to shock them out of wherever they're going, just get mom, get mom. You're sure it's get mom, get mom. Just show her. No positive parenting for Eric. I'm rebelling. Anything you can do to shock them at that point. And turning around and leaving and not making them do what you told them to do is shocking when you're a person who expects them to do what you expect them to do.
Then I spoke to him about, you know, what would be different if we tried to solve the problem about the weight.
Right.
And I said to him, what would be different, Eric, if you lost weight? What in your life would be different? Say you lost some weight. What would be better? What would be different? He said, well, I'd look better.
Mm-hmm.
That was his only thing. I'd look better. I'd have no stomach. I didn't know where to take it from there. And then we discussed whether, I said, is it because you want to meet this girl and this girl's not talking to you? Do you think that's part of the problem? No, I just want to lose the weight because I'll look better. I said, who told you that? He said, nobody, mommy, nobody. Don't blame anybody. He says, I just think I would look better.
And do you believe it?
No, I think somebody had to, like, really say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me or Alan. Maybe he's hearing from somebody at school. So how can I support him with this whole thing?
Well, how can you?
Giving him a diet.
Are you a dietitian?
No.
Doesn't he have a doctor supporting him in health?
Yeah.
Why don't you make an appointment with the doctor? Or have him make an appointment with the doctor now that he's ready to do something about it. Holder'd love to talk to him about nutrition. Support him in using somebody outside so you don't become responsible for why he can't have a bowl of ice cream.
Stop buying it totally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not in the house.
Good.
Being nice.
Okay, first of all, this whole month is not a normal month for children. It hasn't been a normal month for adults. I don't know any adult that is not on a tightrope, and yet we expect our kids to be perfect angels, even though we're all on a tightrope. The children in our families are as traumatized right now by the ice and the snow and the no school and the nothing to do as we are. They're as crazy with us as we are with them. They don't like it any better than we do. And when you're a child in the house for 2 weeks, it's even more. And when you got a parent who's nuts about not being able to go to work and pipes freezing and no electricity and no phone and not being able to get out of the driveway and the car doesn't start, you got a double problem. As bad as children get, probably this month was it. As bad as your kids were this month, that's probably as bad as they're going to be. Unless there's a death in the family, which is even worse. But this is it. This is as bad as your kids are going to get. Can you stand it? Yeah, they weren't that bad. But it was shocking to all of us because it's like, holy mackerel, where did this come from? My son was a Todd this month. My husband was a Toad, and my son was a Todd. Time out, demon. Time out. Time out. Time out. Time out. Do you want a time out? Oh. No, mommy, do you want a time out? Yes, in Florida. Rose?
It seems like he's been challenging a lot, and it seems like he's coming to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had the escalation of homework problems. So he has this assignment to do, and I was reminding him that his assignment is on Tuesday. I'm reminding you then, on Monday you get off school, you have hockey, it's tired, it's physically tired to do anything else.
Right.
I don't want to go through this drama or doing this homework and, you know, you're too tired and whatever. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. The whole focus was, you know, I don't want to pat him on the chair when he goes through his homework because I don't want to go through this thing over and over. You know, he has to physically understand. I don't mind reminding him or helping him out, but I don't want to go through this whole thing again.
Uh-huh.
Say, fine, you have to do it. It's going to be a problem. Tuesday night comes. He's so overwhelmed because he's tired and he doesn't want to do it. And there's a part of him that when he does do his work, he likes to be neat and precise and do a good job.
Right.
So he's still doing his work and it's like his own kind of thing. And fine, go to bed, don't do anything. You know, he's going to have to do your teacher the next day. So he chooses not to do his own work. And in the midst of it last night, he's been asking to sleep in his own room lately. So he goes to sleep by himself and with, you know, Arla sits right now and Freeman goes in his own, so he has no space. He fell off the bed in the middle of the night. And bust his nose. So we were up for like 3 hours because he had a nosebleed. I mean, I really thought that he really hurt himself and all 9 yards.
And he didn't have to go to school in the morning.
No, I said, that's it. We're going to school. And I wasn't even telling the beginning of it. You made me go to school at home. You don't want to help me. You don't like me. And I'm like, what is this? it. I say, Luca, I'm sorry. I am sorry that you feel this way. You know, you had the time to do it. You choose not to do it. You have to go to school. You're going to have to talk to your teacher about it. So I walk into school and I had to go to the office because I had to pay for certain things. Don't, go away, go away, don't. It was like flipping out that I was going to talk to his teacher. So given the space in the room, you know, he went inside and his teacher went in here to do a different class. So afterwards, the sneak when he didn't see me, I talked to the teacher about it. I said, listen, I want you to know, there's a problem with Luca, so don't be surprised if he doesn't bring his homework. Because I'm going to try to teach him through the consequences, so this is what he's supposed to do. And, you know, this is the job. Your job is to be a student. My job is to be a mom. My job is to be a grocery and to fix the house or whatever. This is your job. And she goes, you know, Mrs. McNeil, don't feel bad. I have half of the class totally refusing to do homework. So which probably has to do with what you were saying about it. So what I would talk to him, because for him, every Friday, they have spelling tests. And it's very important to him to pass that test.
Mm-hmm.
So say the worst scenario is going to happen, that he's going to find that. And, you know, he's not going to get what he wants, which is 100. He's been getting 100 every single spelling test.
Mm-hmm.
So she seems upset about the whole thing.
Upset?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
About me saying where I was saying. And we can probably talk. So I've been talking to him for the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I've been talking to him hasn't been working, because eventually I posted then to
last week. This is a woman who last week told you were the best mother that she'd ever met.
Right.
You can't pay any attention to what people are saying right now.
Right.
I'm telling you, this whole area is totally traumatized. People are saying and acting and doing things that are not normal. And to try to have an intelligent conversation with people right now, including most of you, is ridiculous. Because the emotions are so high from being cooped up.
Every week you're so amazed that it happened again.
Again. And more. And supposed to be 60 inches this month.
60.
60. 6-0.
Another class.
Another appointment.
And here I am. Watching television.
With an 18-month-old.
Right. In the house.
And soap operas.
Right.
My dream has come true and I hate it. Where is the cook? Please let me go to work. Just don't make me drive. So you have to take everything right now with a grain of salt. People are not themselves.
I'm just not used to have Luca have that type of anger towards me.
It's not towards you.
Okay,
it's not anger towards you. Children like to have schedules. Children like to have a routine. Children don't like that routine interrupted. When that routine gets interrupted, which is why you tell your children 2 weeks before you're going on vacation, in 2 weeks we're going on vacation, 9 days we're going on vacation, 7 days we're going on vacation, 6 days we're going on vacation, 3 days we're going on vacation. We need to start packing because in 2 days we're going on vacation and today's the day we're going on vacation. Because you have to prepare them to break their routine. Children like routine. School's going to be out in 2 weeks. School's going to be out in a week. What are we going to do for the summer? Children like to know what they're doing, and any time that you break that routine, they're going to flip on you. And if you try to have a conversation with them about it, it's not going to work.
You got the point that last night I told Freeman, I can't be around him right now because I really felt I was going to flip on him. So I had to do something physical. So I just bought this new stencil kit, and I started cutting all the thing and just do it. And he was like, Mommy, are you ignoring me? Say, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just saying right now I'm very upset, and it's best for Mommy.
To have time out.
To have time out, and I'm just sitting here and chilling out right now because I can't be functional. I just couldn't, because I know that if you would have said or something, say the same thing one more time.
I hung up on my son today. I hung up on him. He was mean, he was vicious, he was nasty. I'm not your son anyway, he said. My little adopted son, I'm not your son anyway. I'm like, put another one in the heart, bud. I got out of the car. I said goodbye. I love you very much. I hope you have a nice day. Then I called him later to see if he had calmed down. Well, he had not. I'm not talking to you. I'm watching my video. I don't want to talk to you. Don't bother coming home. I said, I'm hanging up the phone now because no one speaks to me that way, not even my son. And I hung up the phone. A few minutes later, the phone, Mommy, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I said, I will not tolerate that. I absolutely will not tolerate that. You may never speak to me that way again because I will not tolerate it. Now, my son is not vicious. And today he was vicious. He woke up and it was snowing and it was over. It was over, Rover. It was over. It's like, more? He kept looking out the window going, more, Mommy? More? They're not themselves right now. And all you can do is teach them how to manage their anger in the midst of that and draw the line of what's acceptable and what's not. This is not acceptable. And this is what I do when people speak to me that way. I hang up the telephone.
But you also start doing things like, okay, I do this. You start giving me choices. And
right.
I was like,
oh, I told you that would happen in the beginning
of
the course.
I know, but it's like, when it happened, I was like, what do I do now? What do you mean you give me choices? Either you give me that now, or I'm going to go upstairs and mess up the bed, or I'm going outside and I'm going to let Bear out in the
car. Right.
And I was like...
And what'd you tell him?
I just come out and said, you got to be kidding me.
Regardless. Regardless. Nevertheless, the answer is no. Nevertheless, the answer is no. Consequences of your action are the consequences of your action. Regardless of what you do, my answer remains no. Sorry that that disturbs you. Instead of getting hooked into the, oh my God, this 6-year-old is telling me what to do. Is this what it feels like? But I tell you, the stronger positive parent you get to be, the more challenge it's going to be for them. Because there's going to be no way around it. I mean, there used to be a way that they could make a right, I'm hungry, please feed me, and you jump. And now that you're not jumping, they're like, there's got to be another road here. Where's the shortcut? Yeah, we know, because we did it with our parents, right? Okay, that doesn't work. Now, what do they want? They want transformation. Okay. Choices. Mom's into choices. What kind of choices can I get? All right, here's the deal. Either you take me to Burger King, or I'm going to let the dog out.
But it was also his body language. He brought up all kinds of emotion for me. I just had this picture of this big guy, you know.
Wait, he's going to be a big guy.
Talking to me that way, and I was going to,
Did you get in his face? Did you get right up to his face?
Yeah, I said, you got to be kidding me. I didn't say regardless. You said, you got to be kidding me, aren't you? And I was stunned. Mm-hmm. I was really, really stunned.
Mm-hmm. The thing about having a child that's that big is that you can't back down. Even if you're afraid, you can't appear to be afraid. You got to get right in their face when they're that age. And they're that big. Because he's going to be a 6'3 teenager, and you're not going to want to get in a 6'3 teenager's face. So you might as well do it while he's still high height. But there will, once a year or so, you're going to have this kind of challenge, this kind of physical challenge. Just because he's larger than most of the kids in the class, and he probably intimidates them, and that probably works at school. So he's going to try that with you.
I never failed. As I did last night, a part of me felt guilty and another part of me felt glad that I was giving myself permission and just not be around.
Are you still doing the quiet times at home? Are they still in bed at the same time even though they don't have school?
No.
Is the routine continuing? If the routine continues and they don't go to school and you fill it in with telling them to do something, you won't have as traumatic a time as you're having. It's the free, creative time that they're getting in trouble with. And that they're staying up late and their body's programmed to get up early anyway and they're not getting enough sleep and then they're tired and they're cranky and they want to watch the video. You have to maintain some semblance of normalcy through the chaos.
Well, out of that, the good thing that happened was that me and Freeman talked to the kids about, you know, we said one of us would kind of like back down and the other one would just interfere without making each other wrong about it and then eventually talk about it.
Yeah, but if your house is getting stirred like that, you call time out. It doesn't matter what time of the day is. You call time out. Time out for everybody. It's quiet time for 20 minutes. It's quiet time. We all need to calm down. If you'll do that, all of you will start calming down. Because you'll find that when one person starts getting, then the other person starts getting, then the other person, and pretty soon you've got screaming children that are running around acting like Amazons. And you aren't really in an emotional or mental state to even deal with it, which is how you got in the situation you were in. Before it reaches that climax, you've got to just stop it all. Okay, we're having quiet time. I can't tolerate any more noise. We have got to have 20 minutes of quiet time. I'm really sorry. Read a book, listen to the headphones, lay in your room quietly. We're having calm down time.
The thing that I'm afraid about my anger is that I don't allow myself to get that angry because I can be vicious if I get to that point. So that's my worst fear. That's my judgment about my
anger. Yeah, but hopefully you want to teach your son how to be angry without being vicious.
Right. Because it was a lot of fun for me.
Well, sure. It's shocking. It's shocking. Put on your seatbelt. You're getting ready for a ride. So the main thing is you have to keep yourself grounded and you have to keep your children grounded when you're in that situation, when the house is just in chaos. when everything in life is upside down, you have to get yourself centered and get your children centered. And one of the ways you do that is by keeping the routine as normal as you can. Even if they can't go to school, you sit them down with a coloring book, or you sit them down with numbers, or you sit them down with whatever they're working on in school, or you play a game with them, or you keep some semblance of normalcy instead of just letting them have the day off and roam as they will. Because they'll get bored and then they'll get in trouble. And that's when they start these new behaviors that just will blow your mind.
Well, ever since I gained the trust of the table setting last night, I was really overwhelmed, and I forgot to ask, do you want to put the plates or the fork? And I say, would you guys please set the table?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. You know, without me giving the choice of which one you're going to do.
You don't have to give them choices when they know what has to be done. They'll make their own choices without you expressing it.
It was the first time they worked together, and the two of them, which one they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman really wanted the fork and the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do the spoon and look at everything else.
It's great.
So, you know, I can see that thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Or like right now, they're fighting who's going to feed the animals. But before, they could have died of starvation. It was up to them.
Right.
So, you know, I see the positive part of it coming out at this point, you know, much more caring.
This completes tape number 1 of Positive Parenting.